Welcome to Let's Get Physical. The material presented on this show are for educational purposes only and are not to be used as a substitute for medical advice from your healthcare professional.
Hi, this is Dr. Chin, and you're here with Let's Get Physical. If you were here last time, you may recall that we named the show Let's Get Physical at the suggestion of my office manager, Patty. And the reason we call it physical, Let's Get Physical, is that over the 37 years that she was with me, it was obvious to her that the vast majority of the low back pain patients that we saw, their pain was caused by physical or mechanical problems. So when we say mechanical, we mean problems of the musculotendinous system or the musculoskeletal system. So muscles, tendons, joints, bones, discs, etc. And you know, for today, we're going to limit our discussion mostly to low back pain, as we have the last couple of times, because it's such a big subject, and because the vast majority of people listening to this are going to have low back pain at one time or another, probably more than once. So the last time we talked about where most of that pain is coming from, and in my experience of, what was it, 42 years, the vast majority of low back pain emanates from the disc, or it's called discogenic pain. And the disc, as you may recall, is a structure that connects the vertebrae of the spine. So between every two vertebrae, you have a disc. The disc is a two-part structure. It has a thick jelly in the middle surrounded by a lot of tough, strong ligaments. So the structure is sort of like a jelly donut, with the jelly in the middle and the outside of the donut, instead of being cake, it's ligaments, really strong ligaments. And as I recall, I think we talked about just how strong those ligaments are. They reach their peak strength about age 22, but after that, it's a slow downward spiral. So for those of us between ages of 22 and 70 or so, 65 or 70, the serious low back pain that we have, the majority of that is going to come from that disc. So we wanted to spend some time talking about the disc. And I want to get back into that disc. But before we do that, we want to talk about pain that might be coming from sources other than the disc. And in my experience, the muscles really don't, you know, they're not that big a deal. They hurt, but not like disc pain. After age 70, a lot of times we're going to have joint pain. That's a subject for a different discussion. But as far as the discogenic pain is concerned, we're going to get into that. If it isn't discogenic pain, and if it is, what else could it be? Well, it could be a lot of different things. So if it isn't musculotendinous or musculoskeletal, it could be coming from anyone. It could be coming from your bladder. It could be coming from your prostate. It could be coming from your kidneys or your uterus or your ovaries, if you have them. It could be coming from an abdominal aorta. It could be coming from a lot of different things. So before you start treating, or we start treating pain as if it's musculoskeletal, we need to do a little research and try to determine if there is referred pain. This is what they call referred pain. It's coming from somewhere else. And so your doctor, when you walk in with low back pain, say, "Doc, my back's hurting," your doctor, I hope, is going to ask you, "Well, how have you been feeling? Have you lost any weight? Have you been having night sweats, fevers, chills, any change in your bladder or bowel habits?" Any of these things, they can be clues as to what's going on. If you say, "Well, yeah, I had a low-grade temp around 98, 99, and sometimes at night I sweat," then your doctor may have to do a little research. Your doctor may have you lie down and poke on your bladder, poke on your abdomen, listen to your belly, may tap on your kidneys. I know some of you out there have had kidney stones, and man, that can be a painful son of a gun. People describe that as kind of giving birth through their back. And when people walk in with what they call renal colic, you know, they're trying to pass a stone, that pain is I'm not going to say it's unmistakable, but it's pretty, you know, it's, it has strong characteristics that you can see. But not all renal colic is hideously painful like that. Sometimes people have low-grade aching. And so it pays to take the time to sort this stuff out. Once you've ruled out all that other stuff, and you are pretty sure that you're dealing with discogenic pain, then you have to figure out how to treat that. And that's where I wanted to talk today and take this discussion, is the treatment of discogenic low back pain. Well, there are a lot of different ways to treat disc pain. You can adjust it. You can massage it. You can ice it. You can heat it. You can use acupuncture. You can use CBDs. You can use NSAIDs. You can use steroids. You can use muscle relaxers. And I'm not a medical doctor. I did not prescribe medications, but many of my patients took medications. Sometimes I actually sent my patient back to their doctors to get medication when my treatment failed. And sometimes it does. You know, you can't help everybody. The unfortunate part of that is that the medications don't usually do very much either. When you're looking at honest to God discogenic pain, it's a tough one. There are no medications that really are going to do very much, unfortunately. Sometimes, you know, they'd put a person on 5 days of steroids, something they call a Medrol dose pack or a 5-day burst of steroids. And that would kind of take the edge off sometimes. Sometimes send a person for an epidural injection of steroid, and that's kind of a Hail Mary pass, but sometimes it would do a little something. NSAIDs, if you take an NSAID is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug like ibuprofen or naproxen. There's a bunch of them out there. To take enough of them to do much, really, pretty hard on the stomach. So medications, you know, they're kind of a last resort. Sometimes they're a first resort, but if you're talking about discogenic pain, it's a pretty tough nut to crack. And medications, if you're lucky, they'll get maybe 20% relief from those. When I had a person come in, low back pain, you know, I do my exam, do my history, make sure it's discogenic, that it's musculoskeletal, that it's in my wheelhouse. And then I had to try to determine how to treat this person. Well, in all the years I was in practice, the most effective method I found to treating discogenic pain was something called the McKenzie Method. You can find this online. Just look for McKenzie Methods or McKenzie Provider. McKenzie is a brilliant physical therapist from New Zealand, and he's the guy that postulated that what happened when we bend forward too much or we fail to preserve that curve in our low back that we discussed last time. And by the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go to the website. There are some pictures there that will help you. But when we fail to use good posture, good body mechanics, that jelly in the middle of that donut gets pushed backwards towards our backside. And it invades those ligaments and starts to tear into them. When it gets to the outer third of those ligaments, that's when it hurts, because that's where the nerves are. And when it gets to those nerves in that outer third, boy, it can really hurt. If it goes straight back, the pain is pretty much right in the middle. If it goes back into one side, the pain will be to the back and into one hip or into one buttock. And sometimes when that happens, you look in the mirror. And I know some of you have seen this. You look in the mirror, and by golly, you're crooked. Your head and your shoulders are on one side, and your hips are on the other. You look kind of like a question mark. What the heck is that all about? Are my hips out of place? Did one leg get short? What's going on? And McKenzie calls that a lateral shift. And that's just the body's natural response to having that jelly stuck into the back posterior lateral side of your disc. So When you see that lateral shift, McKenzie practitioner will immediately see that and start doing some test moves called a side glide maneuver. And we try to side glide till we get that person straight, and then we go to the next corrective maneuver. And many times with that McKenzie procedure, it's like magic. You can see a person straighten right up, and a lot of times they feel better immediately. If the McKenzie method doesn't work, then we have problems. And sometimes that annulus, it just is frayed and it's weak, and that jelly has invaded to a point where, you know, it just has a mind of its own. And sometimes it's just pretty tough to stop it. In that case, sometimes those things just rupture. And that is the genesis of a ruptured disc. The stuff comes right out. And those are the ones you've heard about. Your friend or your uncle or somebody had a relative with a ruptured disc and ended up in surgery. And, you know, 30 years ago, that happened a lot. The treatment of ruptured disc has evolved a lot. The treatment of disc degeneration in general has evolved. In fact, 20, 25 years ago, I was on the staff of a local community hospital. And if I had a patient with a hot disk, the protocol at the time was to call one of the medical doctors on the staff, and we would co-admit the patient. And God, I feel guilty about this, but we'd admit that patient and put him to bed and put him in traction. And it was miserable. And the medical doctor would just have to narcotize the heck out of the patient to try to keep him in the bed. Oh, we keep him there for 3 to 5 days at a time. It was hellish. But fortunately, some research was done that showed us that that just wasn't the best way to treat this stuff. The best way to treat this stuff usually is to try to keep the patient moving, keep him the heck out of the hospital. And in the old days, you know, when I was fresh out of school and for the first 10 years, if I had a patient walk in and I examine them and they had straight leg raising, that means if they lie on their back and I lift one leg with the knee straight and they go, ow, 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 that hurts all the way down from my butt down to my toes, that's a ruptured disc. And that sign, that straight leg raise, or Lezeg sign it's called, is pathognomonic of a ruptured disc. And that disc, that jelly has come out, it's lying on that nerve root. And when I was in school, I graduated in 77, I was taught that a ruptured disc was an emergency. We got him to the surgeon, and the surgeon would go in there and operate. And man, those were the days. But now we know better. Now we know that people rupture discs all the time. And if, unless things are pretty bad inside, those things will resolve on their own. When that jelly comes out of that ligament, your body doesn't recognize it. It goes, my gosh, what the heck is this? It's some sort of foreign material. And we'll send in these little cells called macrophages, and they will start to eat that disc up. So over a period of 4 to 6 weeks, a lot of times that rupture will just disappear. And I've seen this firsthand. So you see that the patient has a big ruptured disc. You send them to MR. The scan confirms there's a big ruptured disc. 6 weeks later, if you have to, for reasons, if the patient's much better, there's no good excuse to do a repeat disc MRI, but sometimes we do. We do a repeat MRI and see that disc is gone. And I had a patient, in fact, one time had a big chunk of disc lying on the nerve, and it had pressurized the nerve so badly that it caused a palsy of the nerve, and he lost the ability to raise his toes. So this is an important sign. When you start to lose motor function like that, then we start to worry. So I scanned him, and sure enough, he had that big old disc in there, and I called my favorite neurosurgeon. I said, here's what's going on. He goes, yeah, well, if it's been more than 2 weeks, maybe we should operate. And but by the time we got him scheduled, three and a half weeks had gone by, and he was starting to feel better, but he still had some weakness. So he went ahead and went to surgery. Dr. Tim opened him up, looked around. There was no disc material. It was gone. So the nerve was still palsied, but the disc had resolved. So he did nothing, just closed the patient back up, and we just watched him, and a few weeks later, the strength came back. So the treatment of disc issues, disc problems, acute disc bulges, disc ruptures, the treatment has evolved a great deal. And speaking of disc bulges, last time we talked about putting a marshmallow between two crackers and then squeezing it. And what happens to that marshmallow is that it loses height, but it increases in diameter, right? So if you squeeze hard enough, that old marshmallow sticks out beyond the margin of the crackers. And this is essentially what a bulging disc does. And a lot of times a bulging disc is, believe it or not, it's painless. It's kind of a silent process, but it can cause problems. Sometimes it's not so silent. Sometimes it hurts like crazy. And those are one of the tougher ones to deal with because, it just doesn't respond to treatment the way we'd like. Sometimes intermittent traction can help. But in my experience, if a person needed intermittent traction, that's what we used to call it. Now they call it decompression. But if a person needed decompression, it really wasn't cost-effective to have them come into the office 3 times a week for decompression. So those folks, I would try to get doing some sort of inversion traction at home so they could do it every day, 2-3 times a day. And some people can do that and some people can't. And, before we leave this subject, and Truman, now, if I get lost, you reel me back in, okay? One of the most painful conditions that I have ever seen, first one I saw was about 15 years ago, and a lady walked in. I knew this lady. She'd had problems before, and I knew that she was a hard worker. She had a high pain threshold, but she came in, and she was trembling. Her legs were about ready to go out from under. The pain was so excruciating, and I asked her, what happened? And did you fall off your horse? Did you have a car accident? What? No, she was. She worked in a school. She was leaning over to clean tables in the cafeteria. She bent over the table, and she felt something in her back. And half hour, 45 minutes later, she was in agony. She left work and she came to see me. And I examined her, and it looked to me like she had a disc problem. It looked all the world like a disc problem. I could hardly touch this lady. And there was no way I could go through the McKenzie protocol. And she couldn't move anywhere in any direction, not an inch. So I finally just put a lumbar corset on her and strapped it up as tight as I could and sent her home. And the corset helped for a little while, and then it started to bug her. She had to take it off. And she came back a couple days later, no better, and she was miserable. And we got an L&I claim opened on her. And usually with most insurance companies, and L&I included, you have to wait 6 weeks to get authorization to do an MRI. Yeah, 6 weeks. The reason that six-week magic number is that the insurance companies know that most of these problems will get better in 6 weeks, and you don't need the scan. So I don't know how Patty did it, but she jumped through the right hoops and got authorization to do the scan, and we scanned her low back. And I could hardly wait to see that scan. The radiologist called me and said, oh, scanned your patient, and scan is clean. Don't see anything. I said, now, wait a minute. This lady is in agony, and I know this lady. There's something in there. So when you do this, sometimes radiologists don't always take kindly to it, because what you're telling them is, I think you missed something. And sometimes they will take umbrage. But this fellow was very magnanimous. And he said, well, let me look through it again. And I stayed on the phone with him. And you know, when you do an MRI, it's like slicing. If you take a loaf of bread and you slice it, that's what they do with these pictures. They slice you from your head to your toe. They slice you that direction. And then they go from your left to the right, and they slice you that way. And these tiny little slices. So there is a ton of images there. I mean, dozens of images for the radiologist to look through. But I told him the pain was centered right around L5. So he focused from L4, L5, S1. The discs were intact. There were no ruptures there. But he said, well, now, you know, I see a tiny little fissure in the outside of her disc. So you look at those ligaments. Remember, the jelly's in the middle, and the ligaments are on the outside, and the nerve endings are on the outside. There was a tiny little fissure, and that was causing her pain. Now, that's the first time I'd seen a fissure, and the first time these days, it's a recognized entity. But 15 years ago, it wasn't. And I saw that fissure. That was a new one. So if you ever have absolutely excruciating low back pain, and your scan doesn't show any ruptured discs, think about that fissure. It's a tiny little thing. Until then, it was ignored, thought to be insignificant. Anyway, so now where was I, Truman? Oh, yeah, we were talking about treatments. So you can take steroids, you can take drugs, then do a lot. But sometimes, if you're desperate, that's what you have to do. Yeah, that's a fissure, a tiny little defect in the outside of the very outer part of the disc. Yeah, tiny, and it's one of the most painful entities I've ever encountered. And I saw, since I'm retired now, I saw two or three more after that, and was much more alert to that problem. Still a tough one to treat. Tough to treat. Anyway, you can do massage on these things too. And when you see a massage therapist, if you have a derangement, yet jelly is sticking into the ligaments where it should not be, you're going to have spasm. When you go see your massage therapist is going to pop. I know this because I was a massage therapist too for 25 years. Your massage therapist is going to poke on you and go, oh my God, your muscles are so tight. Well, they will be tight. That's the body's response. It's trying to splint around an injured area. And you can massage that till the cows come home, turn blue, and drop dead. And massage is not going to cut it. In fact, here's something else for you to remember, folks. If you have a disc issue, excruciating low back pain, and you go to the massage therapist, and I have nothing against massage therapists. I think they're great. But don't let them, don't lie on your stomach. Okay? You go to the massage therapist for a hot low back, have them maybe 10 minutes on your belly at the most, on your side, on your back, but not face down. Too many times I've had patients come in and tell me they went to the massage therapist, the massage felt great, but they couldn't get off the table afterwards. So this is one of those things you have to be careful about lying. You don't want to lie on your stomach at home either. You just don't want to be on your belly. When I had patients come in and they had a hot low back, I would treat them mostly standing or sitting, believe it or not, not lying down. Sometimes lie on the back, but not on the stomach. And lying on the back is dicey too, because sometimes they have trouble getting up again. And if it's a big person, I just look at them and go, well, you know, you're on your own. Actually, when a person has a really bad back, they don't want you trying to help them off the table. They'll wave you away. Just leave me alone. I'll do it on my own. So you can do massage. You can do acupuncture. Again, if you have acupuncture, be careful about lying on your stomach. But really, in my experience, the McKenzie method was by far and away the most effective treatment for low back pain, discogenic low back pain, that is. So my advice, if you can find a McKenzie provider, that's a good place to start. Okay. Now, how are we doing on time, Truman? Got 5 minutes left? 6 minutes? Oh, my gosh, the time has flown. All right, so what else were we going to talk about today? Oh, okay, so let's talk about what we're going to talk about next time. Let's say that that disc was, that annulus, that jelly was sticking into those ligaments, and man, we just can't turn it around. Like I said, sometimes they'll get up ahead of steam, and you just can't stop them. And so here's a classic case. Lady was bending over, getting under a kitchen sink. She developed low back pain. The pain was excruciating. She came in, and I told her, look, this looks like a disc problem, and we've got to try to get that jelly back where it belongs. And she went home. She's doing the stuff I told her, and things are getting a little better over 3-4 days. And then she bent over to pet the dog and felt something in her back. And when she stood up, the pain was gone. And then about 2 hours later, she started to have leg pain. Can you guess what happened? Can anyone out there guess? Anyone? Bueller? Anyone? Okay, you got it. That disc ruptured. The jelly came out. It let the pressure off the disc. The disc immediately felt better. Her back pain went away like magic. But the jelly lodged up against a nerve. It's compressing her nerve. Now she has pain in her butt and down her leg, and that is sciatica. So now she has sciatica, and her case was clear. She had a ruptured disc. It's lying on that nerve. She comes in, tells me what happened. I know what happened even before I examine her, but I still have to examine her, so I check her reflexes. And she's, you know, a doctor taps on your knee and your leg jumps. Well, one side didn't jump so much. So I know what level that's at. And then I have her lie on her back, and I lift that leg. Remember we talked about the straight leg raise? I have her lift her leg. I lift her leg for her with her knee straight, and we get to about 40 degrees, and she starts to yell. So we know she's got a big old ruptured disc lying on that nerve. Now, is that an emergency? Not usually. Say not usually, because once in a great while something will happen and people will start to have what they call saddle anesthesia. And I want you to think, if you've been riding a horse for too long, you'd get off the horse, what part of you is numb? If that part of you starts to feel weird after you've had a disc issue, that can be a medical emergency. So especially if you start to have incontinence, bladder or bowel incontinence, or if you try to empty your bladder and just won't empty, that can be a medical emergency. Keep that in mind. Otherwise, we out of time, Truman?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, we can watch this. Now, as I said, most of the time, the body will send in little cells and they'll start to gobble up that disc and shrink that thing down, and people start to feel better in 2-3 weeks. Not everyone. Now, who's going to take longer to heal, and who do we have to worry about not healing? Well, number one on my list is the diabetic. Now, why diabetic? And I can tell you this firsthand. I've seen this. Oh, man. I had a patient come in. He'd had ruptured disc in the past, and we treated him successfully. Or maybe his body treated successfully. I don't know. But he got better. This time he came in, he had a ruptured disc. I said, well, Ed, we've been through this before, but this time you've got some weakness. I see you can't raise your toes. So we got to keep a close eye on this one. If you're not better in 2 weeks, I'm going to send you off to a surgeon. We'll scan this thing and maybe get surgical consult. He said, okay. 2 weeks later, he wasn't much better. So I sent him off to, I scanned him. Sure enough, he's got the disc. I sent him to the surgeon. Surgeon says, yes, we should probably operate. Go get a physical. We need a pre-op physical. Go see your family doctor. Saw his family doctor. Turned out he had diabetes. He developed diabetes in the interim. Blood sugar was over 400. And by the time the blood sugar was under control, we scheduled the surgery, decompressed the nerve. The nerve damage was permanent. Because in the presence of diabetes, the nerves become very sensitive. So you have to decompress that nerve in a very timely fashion. Those folks, you have no time to lose. So if you are diabetic and develop sciatica after a back problem, you stay in close touch with your doctor. Do what you need to do right away. Hey, we'll talk more about this next time. This is Dr. Chin signing off. In the meantime, I wish you good health and good luck.